Welcome back to the guidebook, everybody. We are talking to Joanna Flashman. She's a freelance journalist, content writer, and SEO strategist. She just wrote her first book, Beer Hiking Southern California, which comes out in April of 2024. She just spent the past 9 months traveling around Southern California in her converted van, hiking and talking to brewers so that she could write this book, which is such a remarkable feat. She's a climber, hiker, surfer, camper, and van lifer, and she's a freelancer. She also started and runs The Freelance Outdoors Woman, which is a blog that interviews freelancing outdoors women, which is so cool. So definitely go check that out. The link to both her book and her website are in the description of this podcast, and we'll talk about it more during this episode. We cover what it's really like to be a freelancer living in a van, what it's like to write a book, and how she got it published, and so much more. I hope you stick around to listen to this episode, and I will see you on the other side of this interview with Joanna Flashman.
This is The Guidebook. We're sharing tips for freelancers, raw conversations with risk takers, how to become a digital nomad, and the emotions behind it all. I'm your host, Rachel. On the show, I share everything I've learned in the past 5 years of freelancing and living nomadically, showing you how you can work to live instead of living to work. I'm interviewing some of my favorite digital nomads and entrepreneurs to help you unlock your bravest self. If you want to become a freelancer or a digital nomad, this is the podcast for you.
Okay, cool. Yay, let's get started. Do you want to introduce yourself, your name, what you like to do outside, and your occupation?
Okay. My name is Joanna Flashman. I'm probably going to be a terrible podcast guest, to be entirely honest. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. We can always edit it later. That's my job.
Okay. Cool. So what I like to do outside, I hike, climb, surf, camp, and live in my van full time. So do a lot of traveling around. And then my occupation currently is a freelance writer, SEO specialist, and editor.
Heck yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, today we're really here to talk about the fact that you wrote a frickin' book, which is really exciting. I don't know if you want to start with this, but I would love to hear more. I know, like, a few people who have written books in the past year, and it seems like everybody has somehow done it differently, whether it was like how they wrote it or the publishing. And I would love to hear your take on like start to finish, how you went from like, I have this idea to actually turning it into a book.
Yeah.
So that's like a serious feat.
Yeah. It was a lot of work. So my path to writing this book was probably a little bit different than what many people have had with like book publishing or writing their own book, because the publisher I had worked with as a research assistant for a different for another one of my clients who was writing a book, so they kind of knew my working style, and they have their, like, the publisher has their own series of beer hiking books, so they were looking for someone to write Southern California. Knew I lived in California and was, I had sort of casually mentioned that I was thinking about moving down to San Diego. So they reached out to me and asked if I wanted to write the book.
That's very
cool. They kind of, yeah, I guess. So the client who I was working with that publisher recommended, like, put my name in there.
That's amazing. So, I feel like the referrals are what will actually get you to succeed, and when you get to the point of, like, as a freelancer actually getting referrals is so massive for your business. Like, it's a completely different job once you start getting referrals.
Yeah. So it was really thanks to that client in a lot of ways, that I got into the running for this book, and they asked if I was interested, and hiking and beer, why not?
Yeah, sounds dope to me.
Yeah, so it was sort of, so it was a little bit different because it wasn't my idea to begin with, than what other people's like experiences with writing a book is necessarily. But so I wrote like a sample chapter for them to make sure my writing was sort of fit what they were looking for and that I could follow directions. Basically they just wanted someone who could construct sentences and follow directions. Pretty low bar there, but
yeah.
so yeah, I got the contract for that, and then started writing, well, started like making plans for which hikes I was gonna do. It ended up being 40 hikes and 40 breweries. And then started hiking and started writing. Yeah.
How long did that take you?
Let's see. I started my first chapters in like December of last year and finished the whole, like all of the chapters in August. So a total of like 9 months.
Like having a baby. That's not bad. That's actually pretty fast for a whole book. Yeah.
It was a lot of work. Yeah. I think it was pretty sped up in a lot of ways. But I didn't.
Did you have other client work during that time?
Yeah. So.
Oh, damn.
So my plan, I had like this whole structured idea of like I was going to do 2 hikes a week and. Like the hike was going to take, each hike would take maybe half a day. They weren't super long hikes. And then I could write up the chapter in 4 or 5 hours and call it good. In my head, I was thinking, okay, this is going to be like 2 or 3 days a week commitment. It was not. Yeah.
It's never what we think. It doesn't matter how much you track your time. You're never going to be like perfectly accurate.
Right. Exactly. And then, so I was like trying to get 2 hikes a week. And in my head, like if I was getting 2 hikes a week, I was going to be done with 50 hikes by June. And it was going to, like with time to spare, was going to be great. And then like, issues with my van came up throughout and rain and like other clients and it got pushed back a whole lot. So I did not. And then the last 2 months, I think. So like most of June, July and August, I was not working with any other clients or like I had like one ongoing client, which was like 10 hours a week or 10 hours a month. Sorry.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That last push was almost entirely on the book.
Yeah, like full time. Yeah. Yeah. That's, I feel like it would be hard to juggle something of that caliber and that size with other clients.
Yeah, it was the first several months was definitely a lot of work because I was starting to gain traction with my freelancing work as well again. And so I had 3 or 4 different clients and was like getting referred or having people find me through my website and work. And it was going pretty well of being like, cool, I'm making like a decent income on freelancing now.
Yeah.
Like I have disposable income for once.
That's huge.
Which is great. And then I kind of had to sideline all of my clients.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so challenging too because you're like, you rely on momentum when it comes to freelancing.
Exactly.
If you want like long-term success, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was...
How long were you freelancing before the book?
About 4 years.
Okay. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, were you able after the book to like pick back up with some of your old clients, or did you have to start from scratch?
It's been a challenge. So I had one, like that one 10 month or 10 hour a month client I've kept throughout. Everyone else I've kind of had to start from scratch.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, and honestly, I think since I've come back, I haven't really gotten back a client base yet.
Yeah, it definitely takes time.
Yeah, so that's been sort of a work in progress of getting back clients. I think I'm starting to build that up, but was also getting to a point of maybe I look for a full-time job. Like after the book, like total burnout from that, and thinking, you know, some time of not searching for clients and not worrying about income sounds pretty nice right now.
Yeah, I very much understand that. I think we all get to a point where we think about having a full-time job, like myself included. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been 6 years, so the past 2 years I haven't really ever thought about getting full time. I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't even think I could be employed full time because I just don't think I could like handle it. But
yeah,
I have, of course, like the entire first 4 years of my career, I was just like, maybe I should get a full time job. Every time I'm like about to hit my limit, and then somehow a breakthrough would come through right after I'm like at the worst possible moment in life emotionally when it comes to freelancing. You know, I feel like the best thing always happens right after your breaking point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's been, honestly, like, the freelance journey has been tough. I've gotten to, I think now, gotten to 2 points where I've, like, hit that momentum and I'm making good income and doing really well with freelancing, and then, like, some dramatic life event happens where I basically have to stop freelancing.
Yeah.
And just end up losing all of that momentum. So now that that's happened twice, I'm a little bit, we'll see,
skeptical. Makes sense. I very much understand. Yeah, I consistently would like try to find
you're good
I would like consistently try to find some kind of like excuse or fallback or like reason to not keep pursuing it, and then it would just end up that I was just making my freelance business even smaller and more challenging to stick with because I wasn't actually like giving it my all and focusing on it and believing that it could happen and like actually finding consistent strategies. Like I realized even when I think I'm doing well and I have momentum and I want to stop marketing and like sending pitches and sending letters of introduction on LinkedIn and like just putting out feelers, that's the time when you should definitely continue, even though it doesn't feel like you have time to just do like 30 minutes or an hour every work morning so that you're consistently driving the needle with that like direct outreach. That's when I started doing that while I was still fully booked. That's when I started seeing better results and referrals, and like I constantly have a stream of incoming clients that I literally can't take on because I have too much work. And that only happened after I started like marketing myself more than I thought that I should have to be. And that was so shocking to me because I was like, but I'm booked. I shouldn't have to keep marketing.
Right. Yeah. And it's just the ongoing continual part of that. For sure.
Yeah.
But
I think the marketing used to feel like a slog for me, and now I'm at the point where I'm like, oh, I actually kind of like the thrill of the hunt, but I only like the thrill of the hunt because I know that I'm financially secure right now. You know what I mean?
Oh, I find I almost, there are points where I almost like the thrill of the hunt more than doing the work.
Oh, yeah,
There is a point constantly where I'm like, it's so exciting to get a new client, and then I have the work to do the new client, and I'm like, oh no, like that reel of like, oh yes, we have the plan, here is the plan, it's a very good plan, yeah, now we just have to do the plan. Oh yes, plan, do the plan. okay.
Yeah, totally. But... that's exactly it. Because it's also like, I've thought about starting an agency as well. And I've like made a lot of steps towards doing that. But at the same time, like, that's also its own beast. Like, yeah, sure, I can like just get clients for the agency, but I'm going to have the same problem. Like, I'm still going to have to strategize for them. I'm still going to have to like hire and manage writers. I'm still going to like, you're still going to have to do work. It's just a different kind of work. And yeah. Do I want to stick with the business that I've already built and is like rolling on its own? Or do I want to like, I mean, I guess it's not like really starting from scratch because some of those clients could roll into the agency, but it just turns into like the brain space it takes to be in that new position. Like, it's like starting a new job or starting a new business. It's very adjacent to what I'm already doing, and it could alleviate the whole like getting clients and then not wanting to have to do the work thing, or it could just turn into like that same thing again. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I had one of my mentors at one point moved into doing more agent or like creating her own agency. And I think there was a point where she, a wonderful mentor, and she really was really transparent with me about her process and everything. And she was explained to me at one point when she was working on that agency, being like, you know, I think I just like working with my clients and doing the work rather than trying to coordinate with everyone.
Yeah, it's like and orchestrating that, a circus in a lot of ways, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I think I've potentially sidetracked your podcast.
No, it's good. I like the tangents. This is nice okay. to have. People are always like, I don't know. I have questions, but I'm really honestly like they're not even in front of me. Like, I looked at all your stuff and then I wrote down a bunch of questions I thought I'd want to ask you. And then I just go into it like knowing things about you, because I feel like a casual conversation between friends is so much easier to listen to than like, what is your occupation? How do you do it? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm not not a great robot.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do these interviews with the Freelance Outdoors Woman, which is the website that I did or that I've created, which is basically kind of similar to your podcast, except written down, because I'm not so much of a talker. So this is weird for me.
Yeah, but, totally understandable.
And I really liked the idea of being able to have someone like search for one specific question and then just go to every single person's interview and just choose that question and be like, I just want to know about that question.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. You don't have to read through everything. That's really nice.
Yeah. You can just be like, I just want to know how different people are managing their vacation, or like how different freelancers are doing vacation. And you can go to like five or six. And I've started sort of creating articles in and of itself just pulling from the interviews and just doing that one topic and quoting each freelancer. But it's also possible for people to just be like, I'm gonna look at these eight freelancers and just skip to the question about imposter syndrome or something and see if they have anything to say about it. And like, you end up getting one freelancer who's, what's imposter syndrome? I don't have it. And
that's
and then
amazing.
The rest of them who are like, oh yeah, I've dealt with that. This is how I deal with it. Oh yeah, same. I don't know how I'm dealing with it yet. I'll let you know.
I love that. That's a really good idea. Because I feel like, I mean, I've listened to a lot of podcasts in my day, but there was a point where I was doing informational interviews when I wanted to start the agency because I wanted to make sure I wanted to do it. And I like looked up interviews with people who had started agencies, and it was just like such a variety of questions and a variety of people. And it just like wasn't really very helpful to me. So I started reaching out to people on LinkedIn and being like, hey, I just have like four questions to answer you. Could we just talk for like 15 minutes? And speaking face to face with them makes them a good connection. And then B, like gathering just the information about just those questions was so useful. So I feel like this is a useful format for like a lot of things as far as like information sharing goes, because there's so many I don't want to listen to an hour long podcast just to find out the answer to one question, you know?
Right. Exactly. And obviously with those, not every person has answered the same question, similar to what you're doing, in that they go off into tangents and they answer questions that are specific to their business and their experience. And so it doesn't, we don't all like, I usually cut it off at an hour interview. So I think when I was creating that website, and when I started doing interviews, I had a list of like 50 questions, which obviously you don't get through 50 questions in an hour.
Never.
So I end up covering right, exactly. So some of them don't have all the exact same questions, but there's enough of the similarities that you can collect different ones. But
yeah, that's great. That makes a lot of sense. So how did you get started freelancing, and like, why did you get started?
Sure. So right out of college, I started a fellowship that was 6 months with Outside Magazine. Kind cool. of got lucky with, well, lucky and resourceful with my contacts, because I had done an internship with Climbing Magazine the summer after my junior year, and had made contacts there. Reached out to the people I'd made contacts who I knew had contacts with Outside, and then got a referral to the person who was hiring for the fellowship. Sort of made the shortlist immediately, which was instrumental for that. But so I finished that internship or that fellowship with a bunch of contacts in the outdoor industry, and didn't really like the idea of trying to find a new full-time job. So started trying to freelance. And just started from there pitching magazines, pitching Outside, got some contract work with Outside, got some articles with Climbing, and went from there.
That's awesome. That's a really great start to a freelance career, if I've ever heard one.
You know, I think I got really lucky with it, for sure. There's definitely some of it, like, it's been pretty rocky. Like, I think the first 2 years I lived with my parents just to make it, not having to worry about actually making an income for it, or making like a hard income with paying rent or things like that.
Yeah, I remember when I first went full-time, the like fluctuation of my income made me want to throw up every day of my life, and my rent was like, at most during that time, my rent was like maybe $600 a month, and then I moved into a place that was $350 a month, and then I moved into a van. But until I moved into the van, the entire like 9 months leading up to that, I was just like constantly worrying about money. And it's really frustrating and annoying. But then you get to a point where, like, your income surpasses that minimum threshold of what you really need. And this is why I always tell people to set their rates based on what they need to make. So my rates calculator is literally just, like, put in your budget, the maximum amount you think you might spend on this category every month. Put in your debt, how much you need to pay off every month, what you want to save. And then it'll calculate from that, like, what you actually bare minimum need to make. And including taxes. And I feel like once I realized that I should do it that way and not the like, what is everybody else charging? What do I feel comfortable with? Maybe this is okay method. That's when everything stopped feeling so scary and a lot more like doable. Because then I realized, like, okay, well, if I'm selling blog posts at like $400 a blog post or whatever minimum, then I need to get this many blog posts on my calendar, and I need to get this many clients to do it. And once you start getting work coming in, then it's just like a puzzle of like, how can I make this fit? As long as you're routinely marketing, it'll all fall into place. But before I knew any of these things, I was just like running around with my head chopped off being like, I hope I'm going to make enough money this month to pay my rent and not throw up. And like every week I would be like, maybe I should quit and go get a job. And like, maybe this isn't for me. And my friends used to call it my like quarterly freak out. It was like every 3 months I would just have like a full mental breakdown about like what I was doing with my life. But at the end of the day, it's like, if you have a reason you're doing it, you will get there. Like I always wanted to do van life. That was like my whole goal, and I wasn't going to stop until I got there. And having that motivation is really helpful.
Yeah. So you're in a van now.
I'm not
at
currently.
This point. Oh, no. Okay. Got it.
I did it for a year. My van was like, I had an Astro van, so it's very small and I couldn't stand up in it, and I had my cat with me.
That's hard.
And it was just like really mentally challenging. And I also got really lonely for a while. Like the first few months were okay. And then after 3 months, I was like, I would love to just hang with some friends. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. And my cat just like would meow all the time. So I just didn't get a lot of sleep and I just started to go crazy. Mm-hmm. So I decided to move back into an apartment for a while. I definitely want to still travel over the road for like part time, like 3 or 6 months out of the year. I actually just bought a truck that has a sort of camper. It's like a shell on the back of the truck. Like the cap is has like a built-in tent that folds out. The Wilderness. I don't know if you've seen those.
Nice.
So I'm really excited about that. That's gonna be definitely not as accessible as van life. Like you can't stealth camp as easily. And I mean, I could probably stealth camp, but it won't be as just pull up to a parking spot and go to sleepy. But I do think that like for what I want to do, it'll be better and it'll get me further out. One of the things that I really struggled with during van life, I don't know if you have this problem, is like feeling safe when I am near where other people could be. Like when I through hiked on the Appalachian Trail, I very rarely felt unsafe. And if I did, it was because we were camped like right next to a road. But like when you're 10 miles in the woods, like if someone wants to harm you, they really got to like fucking work for it. And it felt like in the van, like anyone could just like drive up next to me and like do harm. And it never happened, but I definitely like heard stories of it. And it was like when I was in Utah, a couple of crimes happened like at the campsites I was at like just weeks before. And I didn't realize it until I like checked the news after I left. Thank God I didn't check the news when I was there because I wouldn't have slept. But those sorts of things, I'm just like, well, if I have a truck and four-wheel drive and I go out down like further into the wilderness, perhaps I'll feel a little bit safer. I don't know. But I don't know. Yeah. I feel like safety was a real problem for me mentally.
That's totally fair. I mean, I think it is definitely something I've thought about. And I think there is a certain point or a certain part of that I would be worried about. I think I try to just not think about it to some extent.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, when I'm sleeping, it's totally possible that someone could break one of the van windows and try and get in. I always try and keep my keys near me so that I can could like press the car alarm really quickly. Because it has like that the little panic button of starting the car alarm.
And I think having a modern vehicle is extremely helpful in that situation. Yeah, I didn't even like have a fob, like I just have like a key that works in the door.
Right. Yeah. So that does make a big difference. And I think but yeah, I guess like parking in parking lots and things, to some extent, I try to not think about it. And then try, like, I'm not going to try and go park in downtown LA. There's a few times where I've parked. I've had to park in Oakland because my folks live there. So I've slept there, but the few times that I have, I've usually ended up connecting with another van life friend and been like, where do you park? Like, have you had any issues with this? Kind of did a little caravan of parking next to each other just having that feel that's a little bit safer. Really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I only knew like two other people that were doing van life when I started. So it was kind of, and I was like trying to make new friends, but I was also like, I don't know. I just found it really challenging because like van life meetups felt really scary and overwhelming to me. Like it was not something I wanted to show up to and try to make. I am like the most extroverted extrovert there is, but for some reason, van life like gatherings scared the shit out of me. I was like, that looks exhausting. I don't really want to do that. Yeah. Is that how you've primarily made friends, or do you use like the internet or?
So like that friend who I connected with in Oakland, I'd actually known before either of us went into van life. So we'd known each other before that. And I sort of saw his entry into like, I like saw his whole progress of like, I bought the truck. Okay. I bought the truck, the camper to go behind the truck. I've done all this work. And then I got my van. And so we were already friends. I don't have a huge amount of van life friends at this point. I went to my first like van life event thing this past November. I'm actually going to one this weekend, which I'm hoping will be really fun. So still on the attempting to meet more van lifers and things like that. I am very introverted. So I'm pretty happy. Yeah, like I'm okay being by myself for a good chunk of time. But I think for some reason going to events, I think I've gotten pretty used to pushing myself in social situations. So I just sort of show up and see how it goes.
Yeah.
So I have no clue how this weekend is gonna turn out, but
of course
hopefully I'll meet some new friends.
When did you end up like going full time with van life?
So I started last December, so about a year ago. My one of my cousins actually had built out his own van himself, and he wasn't going to be using it over the winter or for a while because he had his own house and things that he was working on separately. So he actually reached out to me and asked if I wanted to borrow, like he knew I was sort of interested in van life and was like, that's a really big monetary commitment, why don't you pay for like insurance on my van and borrow my van for like 6 months and see really if you nice. Still like it. Yeah, it was it was clutch. I was very 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 lucky with that. But so he was like, you have to fly out to Florida and drive the van from Florida and then drive the van back to Florida at the end. But because he lives in Florida, so that's where the van was. But so yeah, I started off with that van and then got this one in June. So
nice.
Yeah,
that's great. Did you buy your second van like pre-built?
Yeah, I did a lot of research into it and was thinking about like, do I want to do my own build or anything? And just decided that I wanted it before the next year and didn't really have time to put in like hundreds of hours to build out my own
so much time.
Exactly. And I was like, I don't think I have that experience or that time available right now to try and build it out. So I got a loan and bought a bougie-ass van.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah, I guess, like, my main concern with, like, being a freelancer and trying – like, I thought about buying a better van when I decided that, like, that van that I was in was just, like, not was part of why van life wasn't working out for me. But the more I looked into it, the more I was like, because of my tax write-offs and the way that I've been earning, it just made it look like my income was pretty small and I didn't have a very good credit score because I didn't get my first credit card until I was like 25. So it was only like 3 or 4 years ago. And so the loan options were like abysmal for me. Yeah. And I feel like that's one of the things as a freelancer that like you don't think about before you need it. And like same with buying a house, like I'm going to have to claim every single cent on my taxes for 2 years before I could even qualify for a mortgage. And those are, I don't mind having those downsides because I'm not really trying to buy a house and I'm not really trying to buy a van anymore. But like those are definitely two downsides to freelancing that I feel like nobody really talks about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, I think there's a whole lot of privilege of where I'm sitting right now because the loan came from my parents. So there wasn't...
Oh, that's really nice.
a credit. There wasn't a credit check that I needed to pass or anything. They knew I was good for and they were, you know, pretty flexible on how much I could do as... for things like that. So that a loan, but a very forgiving loan that the bank is very as my parents say, the bank.
Honestly though, like if you have access to it, like use it. You know what I mean? Like I feel like a lot of people poo-poo that privilege and will like try to make you feel bad about it because they don't have that privilege, but like quite frankly you want to succeed in this world and you have any connection to anything that's going to help you, why would you not use it? You know what I mean? Like if I had that opportunity, I would use it. Like I would be doing the same thing as you. I cannot lie about that. And I think that anybody who's like sitting on the other side judging that is just like probably jealous and disappointed that they're not in that position. And it sucks that not everybody can have that. But, like, also, why wouldn't you take advantage of it? Like, they would do the same thing if they were you.
Yeah. And that's sort of where I've, like, made my peace with it as well. It's, like, it's not that having this privilege is bad. It's just that I wish that more people were able to have that privilege.
Exactly.
But... yeah, so that's how my van journey has gone. And then, of course, even though it's a nice built-out van,
there's always problems.
So many problems. Like, there's more problems with this one than my cousin's. And it's, like, every single day I find a new problem, and I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And then you get one problem fixed, and the technician creates a new problem.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why did you have to screw a hole in the ceiling?
I feel like it's part of the struggle of van life is like the constant mechanical or like physical problems with your build that you have to just be okay with like one thing after another managing. And I feel like that's true of like home ownership of like an older home as well. It's like a similar boat.
Absolutely.
And I'm just like not here for these. I bought a Toyota truck. I bought a pretty reliable shell. The cap came with it. Like I have nothing. Yeah. I have nothing to complain about. My dad's a mechanic, so he's like helping me fix it. And because the van, I had a Chevy and I never had a single mechanical problem with it. And it was amazing. That I didn't have to worry about it mechanically. I didn't even replace the tires were like balding by the time I moved out of it. I definitely should have replaced them earlier, but I didn't realize it. But other than that, like not a single problem with that van, and it had like 225,000 miles on it. And other than the fact that like the roof leaked and the floor was wet underneath the subfloor and like getting moldy and it was too small, like just knowing your van is mechanically sound was such a huge thing for me. And I just can't imagine like living in a van full time again if I had to deal with mechanical problems on top of that, you know?
Oh yeah. If I think about it too hard, it makes me scream a little bit because so the van I got is a 2022 Ram Promaster and it had 13,000 miles on it.
That's so low.
So practically brand new.
Yeah.
The brakes have failed on me once.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like there are things that are still going wrong. Like the electricals are questionable. Sometimes some of the lights decide to go out. Just the license plate light. I haven't dealt with that because it's been on like my non-essential list of
problems. It's like the bottom of the list of things to fix. Yeah, totally. It's like, I feel that.
But it's also because it's like that license plate light, it's so new, it shouldn't be going out.
It shouldn't have broken.
It's an electrical issue. Because sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And so there's a fuse or a wire that is not connected right.
And tracking that down in a vehicle of that size is like freaking pointless. That's so frustrating.
I'm just like, okay, later.
Yeah.
I can't handle that right now.
It's so funny to see. I mean, like, I feel like I have this in daily life too. Like, I really need to get a new dentist, but I just keep saying I'm going to do it later. Or like, I really need to go to the eye doctor, I'm just going to do it later. Or like, I have recently, ever since it got cold out, in the floors that are like the original wood floors in this house that don't have laminate over them, I have like random ants just keep popping up out of nowhere. Gonna deal with it later, you know? Like, this is life, right? Like, we always have that like unscheduled to-do list that is just gonna keep coming back to haunt us. But at the same time, I feel like because what you're living with is like everything feels so much more like acute and important when you're living in a vehicle, especially, or when you're freelancing. Like the things that I keep putting off on my work schedule, I'm just like, this is gonna fuck me over if I don't get it done, you know?
Yeah, I think I was gonna say, I think it makes it like that list becomes even more essential and problematic when you're freelancing, because it's like,
yeah,
like there are things where you're like, I don't need to get this done right now. I need to get this written, or I need to get this work done.
Yeah.
And
it's like deadline or what you're getting paid or when you're getting paid. Yeah.
Right. And that the stress of that is, or there's certain times where like, you know, I know I have this work and I need to get it done and I need to get paid. There's a leak leaking onto my bed right now. I'm not going to focus on, I can't focus on the work because my duvet is drenched. So that's going to take importance.
Yeah. that makes a lot of sense.
My van is in the shop for a week. I guess I'm finding housing and doing this. And that ends up sidelining freelance work at times. And it's,
I think the advantage of being a freelancer in that situation though is like you can get another client to change your income, or like you are not on an 8-to-4 schedule or 9-to-5 schedule every day, so you can be like, hey, this is just gonna be late, I'm gonna have it to you by Wednesday instead, or something like that freedom of freelancing. Like, while it is hard to take on a new client or find a new client sometimes, or it is like sometimes the last straw to tell a client that something's going to be late again, it's still like, I couldn't imagine having a full-time remote job and like having to be online from 9-to-5 while dealing with all that bullshit and like really not having a choice about it. Or like if you do take that sick day, like that's one less sick day that you can take later, or it's going to be your vacation days or like whatever. I just feel like when I was on the road, I was just so grateful to be a freelancer because there were just so many days where like, oh, this is the nicest day. It's been raining in Moab for 3 days. It's finally been sunny for 48 hours. We want to go climb. We're going to fucking go do it. And I'll just work on Saturday instead of Tuesday like I planned, right?
Yeah. And I've definitely taken advantage of that a fair amount as a freelancer. So
I feel like it's helpful to acknowledge the both and of the situation. Like,
absolutely.
It's so easy for us, and I think this is just like a human condition thing in general. Like, I've talked about this with my therapist so many times, of like being able to hold both, like understanding that freelancing is risky and sometimes it sucks and sometimes you can't qualify for loans that you need and sometimes you know, you lose a client, or sometimes it's hard to get clients, or sometimes you get tired of running on the hamster wheel. But at the same time, right, like if you had a full-time job, it would probably suck worse for you in other ways that you're currently taking advantage of. And like being in van life sucks sometimes, but also like your 50 hike thing would have been so much harder and probably in the long run more expensive if you didn't live in a van. Right. And that book like wouldn't have been as profitable for you and as fun to write and as like easy of an opportunity for you to get if you hadn't already put yourself in this position. Or, you know, there's always like a positive and a negative to every single thing. And I love that we can like look at and discuss both, because I feel like especially in the van life world on social media, like a lot of people don't want to talk about the negatives of like, my right. roof is leaking, my van broke down, it's brand new, my license plate light should fucking work.
Right, exactly.
Are so excited about like, oh, my yeah. backyard's the beach today. It's like, well, congratulations.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely have the positives of being like, yeah, my backyard's the beach today. Or like, I woke up in Moab and watched the sunset and, or sunrise in Canyonlands sort of thing, which is yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. And then yeah. it's like, well, since I got it in June, I've had the water heater fail, the fan break, the fan start leaking, I had an ant infestation, the brake stopped working, the license plate light, the the window is leaking, the other fan is leaking, and the list goes on. But
there's just no in between of like the things you can experience.
Yeah, and it's like both of those things are true, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So often I've gotten into the habit of when people ask me like how van life is going or how I like it, I've just said, well, net positive.
Yeah, so far. Yeah. I feel like it's just hard to admit sometimes or to realize until you like write down on paper everything that like mm-hmm. a lot of times it's 50-50, and that's true of everything in life. Mm-hmm. And the same can go for freelancing. The same can go for through hiking. The same can go for living a normal life in an apartment. Whatever you want to put it towards, it can always – there. It's very rare that something is just like neutral ground content if it is meaningful for you, right? Like mm-hmm. if it is something worth saying out loud to another person when they ask you how something is, it's probably meaningful for you, which means it's probably not neutral, which means it's probably one or either negative or positive, and we're here for the 50-50. Like there's – yeah. there's – they're both going there, for, like living yeah. – that's life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks for keeping it real with me.
No problem. Definitely here for keeping it real. I think that is something I probably excel more than I should to some extent.
No, it's great. It's, like, it's great.
People are like, oh, wow, your life is amazing. And I'm like,
Sure. Sometimes. 50% of the time.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I realize I think this interview has been almost entirely a tangent.
So, no, it's great. This is awesome. Okay. We talked about your book. We talked about your website. We talked about van life.
True.
We talked
yeah.
about freelancing. I feel like we did a good job. This was like all the topics I really wanted to hit. So I'm happy.
Great. Perfect. Love it. Glad to hear it.
Do you want to tell people where they can find you online and like what you can offer them, I guess?
Sure. Yeah. You can find me on Instagram at Joe_Flashman. I was like almost to the point of, do I double check that? did not prepare for that. Or at my website, joannaflashman.com, LinkedIn, Joanna Flashman. And I offer blog post writing, sort of freelance writing in that sense, copywriting, SEO strategy and management, and occasional like editing, working on some potential book editing projects that, yeah, so lots of different, bit of a jack of all trades in that way.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Work with words and Google.
Hell yeah. I'll make sure I include all those links in the description to the show too, so people can just
click on it. I appreciate it. Right. Thank you. Yeah. Episode.
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
Awesome. I think right now I don't have an exact schedule for release because I'm changing when episodes come out. They used to come out on Mondays, but I'm going to switch it up a little bit, probably Tuesdays going forward. So I will let you know like the weekend before it's going to come out so you can share it on your socials. I'll also send you a link to a Google Drive file that has like video previews if you want to share those.
Okay.
I'm switching away from like Instagram marketing because I just really don't like it. So I'll mostly be marketing it on the newsletter, LinkedIn, and maybe potentially TikTok. So.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably will be in February. When does your book come out?
My book comes out officially April 2nd.
Okay.
So, cool. So there is still a good, like, take your time if you need to push this one back. Okay. I will say this isn't, I was holding back on actually sharing it on the, for like the podcast, but I'm currently going into a second interview for a full-time job. As a content specialist, which would be, it would be an amazing job. It's like a 32-hour a week, full-time salary situation that is pretty much fully remote and very flexible. So kind of all of the good things of freelancing plus a stable income without having to search for clients.
Yeah. Keep and me posted. Doing, if you get it, I will, you know, put a little note in the after the end credits.
Yeah, we'll see. I have the second. It seems promising. I have the second interview on Monday.
Cool.
In which case, some of what I've said is still worthwhile, but you know, there is the part that I will only be freelancing part time at that point. I'll probably still keep some freelance clients. Yeah, that's totally fine. But yeah.
I think that's reasonable. Yeah, that would be a lot.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm hoping, even if I do get it, I'm still hoping I'd like to try and keep up the freelance outdoors woman. Even if I'm only freelancing part, I'll be a little bit of a fraud of creating that website, but not actually being a full-time freelancer. But
I feel like every freelancer has like done part-time freelancing at some point in their career. Like we've all done it. And I think that that's okay. It never used to be like what you should want to do full-time. It was always like a side hustle until like 2020 when the world shut down, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, like I think that was part of the website as well, of just like, I wanted to find people who were doing it full time because that's what I was doing. And it seemed like no one was doing that. But
yeah.
And now I'm not, I might not be doing that, but we'll see.
It's life. It's messy.
Yeah. Yeah. But at some point, it'd be really cool to get you on the Freelance Outdoors Woman too.
Yeah, sure. Send me the info.
I know that
this
interview definitely made me think about all the questions I wanted to ask you, so.
Okay, hell yeah, I would love to. Anytime, shoot me an email. I'm happy to do it. Yeah.
Sweet. Cool.
Cool. Well, it was really good to meet you, and you should be so proud of yourself, dude, for, like, all the stuff you've done so far, not even just the book, like.
Thank you.
Making it this far in this lifestyle is, like, it really means something. Most people don't make it more than a year of van lifing. I can tell you that from experience.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I guess there's a lot of work with my therapist.
Yep, same. Yeah, we love therapy.
Yeah. But connecting with other freelancers is really great.
I
want to do more of, for sure.
That's like the only reason I have the podcast, just like an excuse to talk to other freelancers.
That was basically the Freelance Outdoors Woman. It was like, I want to network.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be creepy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So let me this website so I can ask other women freelancers in the outdoors world, like, all of the questions that are that no one seems to answer.
Yeah, totally. Oh man. Yeah. Well, this was great. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course.
And I will keep you posted. Probably via email.
Okay, that works.
Cool. Great. All right. Have a good rest of your day.
Okay. Yeah, you too.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.
I seriously appreciated Joanna's honesty during this interview and how many amazing side tangents we went down. That is my favorite way to get to know a person, is to just have a whole conversation with them where we just end up going down all these blue blaze side tangents together. If you haven't done a thru hike, you might not know what a blue blaze is. It's a side trail that you can take. Often they have water sources on them, but I always call tangents and conversations blue blazes because you're like going off the beaten trail down a side trail. So I hope you take that term and run with it. Anyway, you guys should check out Joanna's new book. It comes out in April of 2024, and her website, The Freelance Outdoors Woman. All of these links are in the episode description, so definitely go check that out. And I have one more announcement while you're here. I am starting a YouTube channel. My course, Camp Moxie, will be released for free in weekly installments on my new YouTube channel. My handle on YouTube is at Rachel H. Meltzer. You can just go to youtube.com/@Rachel H. Meltzer or find the link in the description of this episode if you're keen to follow. It's completely free, and it will teach you everything you need to know about becoming a freelance writer. So I hope you enjoy that. It is such a big deal for me, and I would love to see you subscribe to my YouTube channel. And if you like my first video, leave me a little comment. All right, I'll see you around the Meltzer Seltzerverse. This podcast was created by Rachel Meltzer and edited by Matthew Usherwood.
The music is by Ketza from the Free Music Archive.
You can find more information in the show notes below. P.S. Did you know that I offer coaching for freelance writers? You can find more information on store.meltzerseltzer.com. That's store.meltzerseltzer.com. MELTZERSELTZER.com.